But anyway, we're starting a new series in the book of Revelation. And I believe that, and if you look at, and we'll get into this more, but if you look at, as you read each one of these, it's in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and it is Jesus writing. If you have your, if you have the red letter edition Bibles, it'll show the words in red. So that means that Jesus is speaking. So it is Jesus that has spoken these words to John, and John has written these letters to the churches in this area. And so I want you to understand something. I want you to see something here. It's important. After each one of these letters, at the end of each one of them, he says, to those that have ears, let them hear. In other words, what he's saying is this is not just for these churches. Okay? That's what Jesus is telling us. He's saying this is not just for these seven churches. This is for all of us. So don't look at these letters and think, oh, well, these aren't for us today. No, they are for us today. And they're for us to understand. They're for us to look at. They're for us to read. They're for us to study and to put ourselves in their place and see if we fit and if we match up. And then we are to take what Jesus is telling us and put it to use so that we can change what we're doing. Amen? And so that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. We're going to look at that. We're starting with the first one. The first one at the very beginning is the church at Ephesus. And I want to ask you a question. How many of you remember what it was like the first time you fell in love with your spouse? Does anybody remember that? Think back to that time. You know, some of you are thinking, man, I don't remember. That was way too long ago, you know. But you remember how much in love you were and how you just, I mean, y'all wanted to spend every last minute with them and you just wanted to hang out with them. And maybe you remember the butterflies you had and maybe you remember the moment that it clicked for you and you remember the feelings that you had and you knew that you did not want to spend the rest of your life without that person, right? I mean, you were just head over heels in love. That was that first love, right? That first time that you knew you loved that person. And, you know, I've heard people describe that that feeling, okay? Some of them have said that it makes your toes curl, right? You ever thought about that? Some of them have said that they feel like their heart is going to beat out of their chest. You know, they're so in love. And some say that they can't think straight when they are around that person. And some of you may have these same feelings, and some of you could give me different feelings, and you remember the first love and how you felt in that moment, and you never forget that moment, right? Because it was special. There was something about that moment that made you love that person and want to spend the rest of your life with that person. And that is the topic of our first church here, series 7. We are looking at the church in Ephesus, and if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Revelation, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And we're going to be looking at these over the next 7 weeks. This series is going to take us all the way to Thanksgiving. So be prepared. There's 7 churches. Each week we're going to cover a different church, and we're going to look at different things. But the words that are being spoken to these churches, like I said, they're written and read by Jesus. And this is Jesus speaking to us. He's talking to us through the Apostle John. And so here we go. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands." In other words, he's introduced and saying, this is the words from Jesus. In chapter 1, this is how Jesus was described. And so here in chapter 2, he's reiterating this to let them know, hey, this is the words from Jesus. Verse 2, "I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." So far, so good, right? Verse 4, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So a little bit of background here about Ephesus. It's located about 50 miles south of Smyrna. And I know you probably don't know Smyrna either, but that's the one we're talking about next week. It was the capital city of Asia, Ephesus was. It was a seaport town on the Aegean Sea, and it had a population of about 300,000 people. Now, let me just kind of give you a comparison to today. The population of the world back then, as we know, was a lot smaller than it is today, correct? And the city that was 300,000 then was comparable to, say, like a New York City today. So does that kind of give you an idea of how large the city was? New York City has a little over 8 million people, okay, in our world of several billion people. Back then, Ephesus had 300,000 in a world of about 50 million. So you can kind of get an idea. You can kind of get a clue of how large this city was. It was a massive city. And Greek settlers, they would come to Ephesus in about 1044 BC, and in 133 BC, it became part of the Roman Empire. Now, most of us have probably studied the Roman Empire in school. But the city was known especially for the Temple of Artemis. It was a banking city and a city of refuge where fugitives could find sanctuary in the great temple. Now, the church here at Ephesus, it was a very prominent church. We know that it was an important church during the time because there's an entire letter written to this church from Paul. The book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. And Paul actually spent 3 years in Ephesus. We also, if you remember the names Aquila and Priscilla with Apollos, all of those served there. And then Paul's close associate, Timothy, he worked in Ephesus as well. And according to strong and consistent historic tradition, the Apostle John also ministered there. So you can see this was a very prominent city. The church was a very prominent church in this area. And so here it is. Here it is, Jesus is writing a letter to them, and as we look through each of these churches, you're going to notice that Jesus tells each church three specific things, right? He first commends each of the church for what they have done right. He then tells them where they have failed, and then he tells them what they need to do. And so we're going to look at each one of these churches, but today we're focusing on Ephesus. But if you look at what Jesus tells his church, Jesus commends the church. Look back at verse 2. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So Jesus is giving the church, he's giving them high praise here. I mean, he's telling them, you guys have done it. You've hit it out of the park. I mean, you guys have really done some good works. You've done some great things. He's telling them that they know how to endure. They've endured through the tough times. They can make it through anything that they face. And he commends them for not liking false teachers. And we even know that it's so important that Jesus mentions this again in verse 6 when he says, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So, and I just want to tell you, if anyone is teaching something outside of what the Word of God says, it is false. Do you hear me? If anyone is teaching anything opposite of what the Word of God says, you need to turn it off. You need to stop listening to it. You need, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go a step further, and I've told you this. If people proclaim what they're saying is of God, then you need to match it up with what the Bible says. Don't take their word for it. Do you hear me? If people are teaching you something that's not right, you need to match it up with what the Word of God says. And if it don't match up with the Word of God, then you need to put them out of your life. And you do not need to listen to any teaching that they speak. Amen? And if I tell you something that I'm telling you, you need to make sure that what I'm telling you is correct. And what I'm teaching is from God's Word. Amen? But when you look at verse 6, you see that Jesus hates false
teachers.
He hates it. He hates it so much that he tells the church at Ephesus that I hate that also. So he's commended them for this. And then Jesus tells Ephesus what they've done wrong. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Remember, we talked about the first love, our first love, the spouse, when we first met them, when we fell in love with them. We remember that moment. We remember that time. We could go back and we could probably tell you all those things, how it happened, maybe what changed, what event made it change, that maybe if you didn't see something in them, but you saw something different in them, or maybe the first time you laid eyes on them, you fell in love. And so he's telling them, you have lost your first love. You have forsaken the love you had at first. So in spite of their zeal, in spite of their hard work for the Lord, the Ephesians had one very serious flaw. This church had forsaken first love. If you look up the word forsaken in the Greek word is aphime. And it means to leave or abandon. That's some serious words, is it not? But this is how it's interpreted here. This is how it is interpreted here in this text. To leave or abandon. In other words, they had forgotten completely about the love of God. They had forgotten completely about the relationship with God. The church knew how to work. They were putting the time in, but they were no longer intimate with Jesus. And the word love here, it's a word that many of you have heard. It is agape. Agape is translated to mean charity. At one time, the Ephesians had been channels for this agape love. They had a high, holy, self-giving love. They had responded to Christ's love by pouring out their hearts in fervent love and praise to Him. And now they were satisfied to have right doctrine and to fulfill what they considered their duty to the Lord. And let me tell you something. There are only two things that Jesus told us that we have to do. I'm going to read them to you again. I've read this a few weeks ago. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, excuse me. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The work they were now doing no longer showed Christ-like compassion. Their lives were very busy, but terribly barren, and they need to fix it. They need to stop what they were doing, and they needed, Jesus gave them three ways to fix their first love, to come back to their first love. And they're listed in verse 5. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Here they are. Number one, remember. Jesus wasn't telling them to dwell on the past. He's not saying, hey, you need to think about just the past. The past is the only good thing. That's not what Jesus is saying here. But he's saying, think back to that moment. Think back to that moment of when you had your first love. Think back to that time and how wonderful it was. What did you do? What was the experience that you had? Can you remember the first time you got saved? Can you remember that time when you kneeled at the altar and you asked Jesus to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life? Can you remember the time? Can you remember the place where you were at? Can you remember what it was like? Can you remember that when you got up from there, what were you wanting to do? Were you wanting to go save the world? Were you wanting to go make sure everybody felt the same way you did? Were you wanting to go just tell everyone about Jesus? Were you hungry enough that you were praying and you were reading your Bible and you were spending time with Him and you were just in that constant conversation with Him? What was that moment like? That's what Jesus is telling them here. He's saying, remember your first love. Remember what it was like. Remember the way you felt. Remember the experience that you had. But he wanted them to remember that feeling. You know, there's something about that first love, that feeling that you get when you first fall in love. Remember what it was like. I believe that it's time for us to remember what it was like the first time we got saved. Get back to our first love. I remember mine like it was yesterday. I was 4 years old. I remember asking Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And that four-year-old boy, he meant it. I promise you, he meant it. Some people say, oh, children don't understand. Oh, no, I knew every bit of it. And let me tell you why I knew every bit of it. Because I remember it. I could tell you where I was. I could tell you how it happened. That's how I remember. That's how I know it was my time. That was my place. That was my appointment. I know that time. I know the events that took place. I could tell you what the preacher looked like. I know it wasn't my pastor. It was a guest minister. He was bald. They all were bald when I was a kid. We had our pastor, though, he'd take his hair. He didn't have much. He'd just take it and swirl it around his head, you know. He had one hair that he just kept swirling until it covered the whole top. Anybody else have those pastors? But I remember that moment, right? I know where I was. It was in our old church there at First Assembly, the old church, not the one they're in now. And it was the straight pews. You know what I'm talking about? It had, I think there was four sections maybe. It's been a while, y'all. They don't even have the pews in there anymore. But because I know we had a center aisle and we had the two outside. Because my dad always sat over here because there was a door right next to that. You get where I'm going with this? And we would always sit there. And so when I wasn't behaving, he would get up, take me out that door. And the rest, I don't remember. No, I'm just teasing. It wasn't that bad. But you know what I'm talking about, you know? And so we had, but I remember it was like a Monday night or a Tuesday night. It may have been a Sunday night. There wasn't a lot of people there. But I remember him giving a message. And I remember raising my hand. And I remember coming down and praying with my dad at the altar. And I remember this preacher coming over and asked me, did I mean it? And I said, yes. He said, well, can I say a prayer with you? And I said, yes. And I remember at 4 years old giving my heart to Jesus. And my life never being the same because I meant it. At age 7, I was baptized in water. I understood it all. I remember my experience. And it's time that we get back to our first love. It's time that we understand. We may not fully have understood everything that took place or what happened, but it's time that we get back to the place that we love Jesus more than we've ever loved Him before. We've got to get back to that first love. We need to remember what it was like. The next thing that Jesus told him, He said, repent. In the Greek, the word is, and I'm going to butcher this one, metaneo, which means to repent, change one's mind. And I thought about this. How about take a detour? You ever had to take a detour before? You know, they're not fun, are they? Because a lot of times those detours don't always take you the most fun direction. But sometimes we just need to make a turn and come back to our first love and say, Lord, forgive me. And repent. Repent of any thoughts. Repent of anything that we have allowed to get in place of our first love. But they had forgotten the moment they asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. They needed to get back to that love. And so they needed to repent. They needed to change their mind and turn back to God. You know, Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Sometimes I just need a refreshing, y'all. Amen? I need a refreshing. I need to just get in the presence of the Lord. And can I tell you, there's times that we may forget about our first love. We may forget about those moments. It doesn't mean that we're bad people. It just means we got our priorities out of whack. And we need to get our priorities back in straight and realize that nothing matters other than the love of Jesus in my heart. Living my heart. But you haven't had times of refreshing in a long time, then it's time that you come back to your first love. It's time that you get back to those times of refreshing. And the third thing that Jesus told them to do was He said, do. D-O, that little word, do. He told them, remember where you once were, repent for how far you have fallen, and then do the things you did at first. So think about the prodigal son. What was the first thing he did as he was working in that pig pen, as he was sitting in that slop of pigs? And what did he do? He started remembering, didn't he? He remembered what it was like at his father's house. He remembered that his father's house was far greater and far better than anything that he was going through at that moment in that time. He started remembering back to what it was like. And then what did he do? He got up, he came to the father. The father greeted him. He said, what? Father, forgive me. He repented, didn't he? And you know, we don't know the story after that. All we know is we know the other brother got upset, you know, and all this. The story ends there and that's it. We don't know what the younger brother did, but I bet you anything, he started doing the things that he used to do. Why? Because he was so much greater to be back at his father's house than he was in that pig pen. And we can think back and we can realize that there are times that we're going to make mistakes. There are times that we're going to mess up. There are times that we are going to just absolutely lose it. And that's when we got to get back to our first love. We need a time of refreshing. Lord, I need a refreshing. How many of you have ever, you know, when I was younger, we used to hike. Anybody ever been to Petit Jean Mountain? Anybody? We used to hike down to the waterfalls. Anybody ever done that? It's a long way down that hill. Going down is not hard. Going back up that hill is brutal. But let me just say this. When I was younger, I was in college, we used to hike down to the falls. And they tell you not to get in the water, but when it was kind of low, we could get under there. And you could just sit under that waterfall, and it would just pour over you. And it was so refreshing, especially on a hot summer day. I mean, you're just sitting there, and that water's coming off. And, of course, all that water is spring-fed. It's just, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. And you just get under that water, and you just let it just pour over you. It was like a time of refreshing. Can I just say that sometimes that we need just a time of refreshing. We need a time that we can just be in the Lord's presence. We need a time that we can just sit there and just soak in what He's wanting to do. Amen? God wants to do so many great and amazing things in our life, and we just have to open ourselves up and just let Him do that. We got to shake off this heaviness that we carry throughout the week. We got to shake off these burdens, shake off this weight that we've been trying to carry around and trying to take care of ourselves. And we just have to come in and just take a time of refreshing, a time of soaking, and just let the Holy Spirit just pour out upon us and move out upon us and touch our hearts and touch our lives and feel something like we've never felt before. That's when we remember what it was like, where we were when Jesus came into our heart and touched us. We got to get back to that first love. That's part of the remembering experience, remembering what it was like. And we go and we experience it. But He remembered what life was like in His Father's house. We got to come back to our first love again. We begin to do things differently, right? It may mean that you get back to the basics. You ever have to get back to the basics of stuff? You know what the basics are? Reading the Word. I'm not saying you have to read God's Word every, you know, 24/7, you know. Y'all heard me say this. You need scriptures. You need verses that you can hide in your heart. Verses that you can take and memorize. You say, well, I'm not good at memorizing it. Well, then write it out and plaster it all over your house. There may be a million sticky notes all over your house. There may be a million 3x5 note cards plastered all over your house. Make you some flashcards. You remember flashcards from when you was in school? You know, they used to have those, your times tables, and they'd do the flashcards, and you'd remember them. I remember when I was a kid, that's what they'd do. They'd just there, you know, flash them before us. You got to do that with scriptures. Make you some flashcards. Whatever you got to do, get the Word in your heart. That's part of getting back to your first love. Some of you remember when you first got saved, man, you were so hungry for God's Word that you would just soak it all up. This week we were talking, I was talking to John Hamby, one of the former pastors of here. And we had lunch this week. And we were talking about, he is talking about how a minister had gone to China, this was years ago, and he was in one of the underground churches, and he said he would just start reading the Word of God. That's all he was doing, was reading the Word of God. He may give a little commentary with some voices, or with some of the verses. And he'd go there and he'd just read. And he said, and then he would try to quit. And the people were like, oh no, please don't quit. So they would take a break. He would go back. He would take, and they'd come back the next day and he'd just continue reading. and just reading the Word of God and giving commentary. They were so hungry for the Word of God that they would just wanting to consume it, wanting to take it. So you know what he did? He came back here to the States. He started doing the same thing in his church. And he said, and he noticed halfway through that some people were leaving. And he said, then he took a break. It was a little bit of a break. And then when he came back, he said, all of a sudden the sanctuary was filled. And what had happened, the people weren't leaving. They were going out calling their friends and saying, hey, you got to get here. You got to come hear this. Because people are hungry for the Word of God. We've got to get back to our first love, where we desire more of what God has for us than what the world has for us. Do you hear what I'm saying? We've got to get to where we desire a hunger for the God's Word. We want God's Word to be a part of our life, because it's only the way we're going to be able to survive in this world is if we know God's Word. We have to know the Word. That's part about getting back to your first love. It's knowing the Word of God, spending time in prayer, speaking to the Lord, having those conversations with you between you and God. It could be while you're in your car. It could be while you're getting dressed in the morning. It could be any time. Somebody walks in and says, man, what are you doing? You say, I'm just hanging out talking to God. If they make fun of you, who cares? All that matters is your relationship between you and God. We got to get back to our first love. Get back to who God is and what God wants for us. I think my tablet's dying. And the next thing they did, after they remembered their first love, Jesus told them, he said, you need to remember, you need to repent. If you haven't gotten a dose of God, you need to repent. If you have been stale, if you have been thirsty, if you've been hungry for God's Word, whatever it is, it's time that we repent. Repent means to turn away and start heading another direction, make a detour, and then you got to do it. Hey, man, you got to do what God's wanting you to do. You got to do what he's calling you to do. You got to do what he's asking you to do. We can't just sit here and be silent anymore. Do you not see what's happening in the world? Does anybody not know what's happening in Israel? They're under attack. That means time is short, guys. Time is short. I don't know how else to put it to you. Go tell your friends, and they may not believe you, and it's okay. They don't have to believe you, but I'm telling you right now, time is short. Israel's under attack. That is God's chosen people. You want to know how the significant results of going on in the world? See what's happening in Israel. I did a series on this 2 years ago, talking about all the end time events and things that are happening. I'm telling you, we are closer now to the end than ever before. And I'm not just up here trying to scare you or tell you anything. I'm just here to tell you the truth that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. I don't know if it'll be today. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be next year or 10 years from now. I have no idea, but he's closer today than he ever has been. And you can see it because of what's happening in our world. So it's time that we wake up. It's time that we remember our first love. It's time that we repent from our past, the things that we have been doing, the things that we have that has pulled us away from our first love. And it's time that we start doing. Amen. It's time we start doing what Jesus has called us to do. And it's time that we start being the church that he's called us to be. Amen. Can we stand this morning? I've asked our worship team to come back. I've asked our worship team to come back. We're going to do a song. And it's O Come to the Altar.